There is an old gospel song that goes like this. One sat alone beside a highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his hands and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the life with glory. For all is well when Jesus comes to stay. Homer Roadheaver wrote those words based on a sermon preached by Harry Rimmer in 1939. So it was not inspired by the story of Bartimaeus, but it fits the story of blind Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus was the one who sat by the highway begging. Bartimaeus was the one who was neglected by the crowd. But Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. For 10 chapters in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus has been engaged in a public ministry that consisted of healing the sick and lame, casting out demons, miracles of nature, conflict with the religious authorities, prayer and teaching. One thing that he taught was that he would go to Jerusalem, that he would be betrayed to the chief priests and teachers of the law, that he would be cruelly executed, and that he would rise from the dead. His mission on earth would come to a climax in Jerusalem. Mark 10:32 says they were on their way up to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way. And his disciples followed, and a crowd of people followed along as well. This crowd was no doubt made up of the committed, the curious, and the casual followers of Jesus. Some of them really believed on him and committed their lives to him. Some were opportunistic. If there was a chance to gain something for themselves, they wanted to be along to grab it. Some were just curious and joined in the entourage on the way up to Jerusalem. They passed through Jericho on the way to Jerusalem. And that is where they encountered Bartimaeus, the blind man. And blindness turned out to be a blessing for him. How did blindness turn out to be a blessing? You say, how can blindness be a blessing? Well, how did blindness turn out to be a blessing for Bartimaeus? Well, first of all, I want you to know that blindness forced Bartimaeus to become a beggar. Bartimaeus' blindness left him in a condition where he could not do normal work to provide for himself. So he sat by the road begging. He belonged to a group of people that is at a disadvantage from the rest of society. But that is not necessarily bad. Somehow, Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was in the vicinity. So he began to shout to try to get the attention of Jesus. This crowd would have none of that. They rebuked him and they told him to be quiet. He was interrupting their progress along the way. It was a 6-hour walk to Jerusalem and they had no time to waste with a blind beggar. Are you surprised that the crowd rebuked blind Bartimaeus and tried to shut him up? Well, I'm not surprised. If the crowd had any compassion for the blind, it vanished when he became a hindrance to their progress to Jerusalem. The crowd had its own agenda, and they wanted to get on with it without any interruptions. People are the same way today. Do you believe that people are the same way today? Well, they are. There are people in our world that society wishes it did not have to deal with. The poor, the lame, unwanted babies, orphans, old people, I think that society as a whole is callous toward these kinds of people. These kinds of people are a hindrance to our personal agendas. So let's ignore them. Let's put them away and let's shut them up. Do we feel that way towards disadvantaged people? If we do, it is not the Spirit of Christ that makes us feel that way, but the spirit of a worldly crowd. Bartimaeus would have been neglected by this hardened crowd, but he would not be silent. Blindness forced Bartimaeus to be persistent. Bartimaeus did not give up when the crowd tried to shut him up. Instead, he shouted again until he got the attention of Jesus. Persistence is good when it is directed toward a good end. Jesus encouraged it. Jesus commended it. There is a true story that I have heard several times over the years from different sources, and I'm sure you've probably heard it too. It's about a young man who was a candidate for the legislature in 1832. He lost. He won in 1834, but served only one term. He wasn't even renominated by his own party. He campaigned for Zachary Taylor for President of the United States in hopes that Taylor would appoint him Commissioner of the General Land Office. He didn't. He returned to his law practice. In 1854, he again ran for the state legislator and won, but he soon resigned in hopes that the new anti-Nebraska party would support him for the Senate. They didn't. In 1856, he was nominated for Vice President of the United States. He lost. In 1858, he ran for the United States Senate. He lost again. In 1860, he was nominated for the presidency as a favorite son from the state of Illinois. Later that year, Abraham Lincoln was elected the 16th president of the United States. It was because of his persistence. Sir Edmund Hillary was the first person to climb Mount Everest. The first time he tried, he failed. He was knighted by the Queen of England, and at a gala occasion, on the wall behind the head table was a huge picture of Mount Everest. The audience gave him a standing ovation for even daring to make the climb. When the crowd ceased applauding, Hillary turned his back to the audience, faced the picture of the majestic mountain, and said to himself, "Mount Everest, you have defeated me once, and you might defeat me again, but I'm coming back again and again and again." He did go back, and he did succeed in climbing that mountain because he didn't give up. Persistence pays. That is a message that we need to hear. That is the message that Winston Churchill gave on October the 29th, 1941, at Harrow School. He attended Harrow School as a youth, and they invited him back to speak to the students. His whole speech was this. He stood up and he said, "Never give up. Never, ever give up. Never, ever, ever give up." And he sat down. And that was his whole speech. Don't give up. If you fail, try again. What a difference it would make if more Christians had that kind of attitude that says, "I may have failed, I may fail again, and I probably will, but I'm going to get up and keep trying until I succeed." Blindness forced Bartimaeus to have a poverty of spirit. Bartimaeus did not demand his rights like so many people do. Bartimaeus cried out for mercy. He shouted, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. That is the cry of someone who has met God and is all of a sudden aware of his own sinfulness in the presence of the holiness of God. There's no pride here. For this is the cry of someone who has recognized something of the righteousness and holiness of God, who has seen into the sin and corruption of his own heart and has acknowledged his inability to please God. When we renounce all pride, all self-assurance, all self-reliance, and confess that we need God and we cannot get along without Him, that is when we get God's attention. This cry for mercy caught the attention of Jesus. Blindness enabled Bartimaeus to receive special attention from Jesus. The crowd may not have had time for a blind beggar, but Jesus Christ did. Jesus stopped in his tracks and said, "Call the blind man." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up. Get on your feet. He's calling for you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and he ran to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and he followed Jesus along the road. Here is a demonstration of the deity and the compassion of Jesus. God can give a blind man sight. That is a miracle. All of the miracles that Jesus performed were demonstrations of His divine nature. But Jesus wasn't just a miracle worker. He also revealed to us the heart of God. God looks down upon the lame and the blind and the underprivileged with a heart of compassion. You see it here in the way Jesus had time for blind Bartimaeus. You see it in the way that Jesus healed the man with leprosy back in Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 42. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. You see it in Mark chapter 6, verse 34, at the feeding of the 5,000. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Again, in Mark chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, another large crowd gathered. Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called His disciples to Him and said, "I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and they have nothing to eat." You see the compassion of Jesus when He stood by the grave of His friend Lazarus and wept. You see the compassion of Jesus when He stood at the temple, probably with arms outstretched, and He said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." Blindness revealed that Bartimaeus had better sight when he was blind than did the religious leaders of Israel who were not blind. Bartimaeus called Jesus the Son of David. That is a messianic title. Bartimaeus recognized Jesus was the Messiah, but the religious leaders of the Jews did not. They claimed that He cast out demons by the power of Satan. How do you suppose that Bartimaeus gained such insight about Jesus? Bartimaeus was a blind man. The news of Jesus' miracles spread around the region of Palestine, and he even restored sight to the blind. I think that caught Bartimaeus' attention. And I think he remembered Isaiah chapter 35, verses 4 through 6. Are you familiar with Isaiah 35, 4 through 6? Listen to what it says. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. Now let me ask you a question. If you were a blind man growing up in Israel, being taught the Scriptures, what verse would you tend to remember? What verse would be most meaningful to you? How about, the eyes of the blind shall be opened? I can imagine blind Bartimaeus having a conversation with someone in the crowd like this. You say this Jesus has caused mute tongues to speak. You say this Jesus has caused the lame to walk. You say this Jesus has unstopped the ears of the deaf. You say this Jesus opens the eyes of the blind. That's easy. He must be Israel's promised Messiah. He must be the one who fulfills that prophecy in Isaiah 35. You say He's coming through Jericho? Then I must meet Him. I must. And so blind Bartimaeus did everything he could to meet Jesus. And Jesus gave him his sight. But the house of the religious leaders of Israel was left desolate. The house of Israel was left desolate. Blind Bartimaeus is a symbol of our lost condition apart from Jesus Christ. It is terrible to be blind physically, but another kind of blindness that is even worse is spiritual blindness. The Bible talks about the blindness of the mind. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Ephesians 4:18 describes those without Christ as having their understanding darkened. Not to know Jesus as Savior is to be spiritually blind. People all around us see quite well with their physical eyes, but not spiritually. They have no apprehension of the horror of sin. They cannot see where sin is going to lead them or what sin will do to them. They have no vision of what it means to face the wrath to come. The Bible opens up the spiritual world to us. The Bible says there's going to be a judgment. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against sin. But the spiritually blind have no perception of that. Of course, they don't see the beauty of Jesus either. Those who are blind spiritually are in danger of spending eternity apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible warns of everlasting darkness. Blindness had left Bartimaeus unable to do normal work, so he had to beg. He was poor. There is a poverty that is worse than material poverty. It is poverty of the soul. It is possible for someone to be physically and materially well off, yet be spiritually bankrupt in the poorhouse of sin. Those without Christ are spiritually poor today. Their lives are like an empty pocket, a ragged pocket that has been turned inside out, emptied of everything of worth and value. To be lost means to be spiritually sightless, spiritually impoverished. But it is when someone recognizes their spiritual poverty and cries out to Jesus for mercy that they can become spiritually rich with the treasures of heaven. God is still able to heal physical blindness, but the need to do that is not there that existed when Jesus Christ was present on this earth as a man. All of the miracles that Jesus performed were performed for a reason, to confirm His deity. That reason no longer exists today, for Christ has ascended to heaven, but the record of His works is established in history and registered in the Word of God. What God has done for us in Jesus Christ is recorded in the Word of God and in history. It is only for us to believe and to follow Jesus. Then it will be true for us what Jesus said to Bartimaeus: "Your faith has saved you." That is why blindness was a blessing to Bartimaeus. And that is why the sufferings of this life can be a blessing to us. The sufferings of this life can be a blessing to you if they lead you to Jesus. You see, when Jesus comes into your life, the tempter's power really is broken. When Jesus comes into your life, the tears really are wiped away. He really does take the gloom and fill the life with glory. For all really is well when Jesus comes to stay. Amen.